All right, so this morning I'm going to share with you about gifts, because our minds these days are about gifts, right? And most of us are busy preparing to give gifts to our loved ones, and for me personally, it is one of the busiest, because buying gifts and thinking about each person you want to bless is a great task. And I mean, we try our best to give gifts to them, to make them happy. All right, but before I continue, I'd like to ask to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we'd like to thank you for this time that we can be gathered here, oh God, once again, every Sunday, Lord God. But each day is important for us, Lord God, that to acknowledge that you are the one that gives us life, gives us liberty, gives us joy, Lord God, knowing that we have that personal relationship with you, Lord God. And we value that, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for reaching out to us and just communing with us, Lord God. That's the most important thing in this life, Lord God. You are the one that gives us life. You are the one that gives us breath every single moment of our lives, Lord. And so we would like to give you all the glory and honor. Bless, Lord God, our time together now as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning I will be sharing with you about gifts coming from the Heavenly Father. This will surely bless us, because according to James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. Good and perfect is coming from above. He is bringing to us various kinds of gifts, but the question is, what gift did he prepare for you and me? Will all of us receive a spiritual gift from God? Because I'm talking about spiritual gift. The answer is yes, because there is a theological stand that these spiritual gifts no longer exist for us today. But today I'm going to make a stand that these gifts are surely needed and are still applicable for us today. And this will really help in the lives of believers, because we're going to edify the church as we exercise these gifts. So at the end of our study this morning, we should answer these three questions. Number one question is, what are these gifts? And number two question, how do I determine which gift is for me? And number three question is, what should be the right attitude and exercising this gift? So let's start with the first question. What are these gifts? So I've divided this into four groups. If you can see in the screen, there are four groups. I just put that there, like four groups. Number one group is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and specifically verse 8 to 10. The second group is found in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. The third group is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And the fourth group is found in Colossians 3, 17. Now, if you see the screen, these are not exhaustive. They are kind of based on the discussions of Paul and Peter. I did not put Peter's verses there, but based on the discussion, these things come out because the church needed that during that time. Okay? So these are not really exhaustive. It will might change. If you see on the screen there, those terms might change for our days, you know, for our days application. So we start with group one. And I hope, because most of the discussion we're going to study tonight or this morning is really on what are these gifts. It's important, because if we don't know the gifts, then you kind of be lost on understanding how do I determine these gifts, because you don't know what are those gifts. And then we cannot answer really the third question also. So let's begin our study with the group one, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if go with me, study along this study on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will jump on verse 8 to 10. As usual, we have to put context on what we are studying here. All right, so let's read this verse, especially on verse 1 to 3, because this will put us into context. So Paul was saying here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So, Paul was talking about, First Corinthians is actually a response to the various questions of the Corinthian people. They were asking about, do I need to marry because the Lord is coming very soon? He's answering those questions. What about food sacrificed to idols? So they were asked. So Paul has been talking a lot about their question, answering those. And then now he said, now concerning your question about spiritual gifts. So they were actually saying that the gifts are already operating in the church, but there's some confusion. Because especially on the gifts that involve speaking like this, you know. And apparently Paul has been discussing about speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy in chapter 14. And even parts of chapter 12. So he's trying to tell them that about this misconception. But Jesus mentioned in Matthew 6:7 that pagan rituals, like in prayer, involves a lot of babble. So the Corinthians were worried that those speaking in tongues, you know, speaking in tongues, I'm going to discuss that quickly. You speak, but people don't understand what you're saying because it's from another language. It's a known language from another, but not to you, not to those who are hearing it. So the Corinthians were worried that those speaking in tongues might be cursing Jesus. So we kind of, oh no. But it seems that if you study through this from chapter 12 of Corinthians to chapter 14, there seems to be some excitement or some interest in the people about those that speak in tongues. I don't know what's the reason why Paul really emphasized or study about why he needs to explain about speaking in tongues. Probably because this is just my my point. Maybe because they were seeing, you know, the in Acts chapter 2, where on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were speaking in tongues. Okay, so probably it becomes a hype that, hey, I become more spiritual if I do the same thing as the early disciples during the day of Pentecost. So I don't know, maybe that would be the reason why they become very sensational that they speak in tongues. But Paul made a point that no, desire the higher gifts. So he's going to discuss that, and we're going to discuss that in a few minutes. And then after that, we go to verse 4. It says there, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And verse 5, and there are varieties of service, but it's the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So what this verse is telling us is gifts are meant for service. It is meant to edify the body of Christ. That's the whole point of this discussion. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, if you turn to that page, 1 Peter chapter 4 is talking the same thing, where Paul was saying here, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So Peter is also telling us that the gifts are meant for service. We are to be good stewards of His grace. And then this verse, this passage also going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. It says here that activities will allow the gifts to operate. So when we have activities, like, for example, we go into that breaking bread. So that will allow the gifts to operate. Maybe you have a gift of encouragement. Oh, it's not there anymore. But yeah, so the activities, the church activities, will help stimulate your gifts if you participate on those activities. And then from these verses also, we see that no less than the triune God is involved in the distribution and operation of these gifts. It says, the Holy Spirit is giving varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of service, but the same Lord Jesus Christ, and varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. See, the triune God is involved in these spiritual gifts. Okay, so the last verse that I'm going before we go to the various gifts is verse 7, which is very important. We see here a very important, we need to focus on this verse 7. Because in verse 7, it says there that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given. So what does this verse tell us? This passage tells us, meaning all believers will receive this gift. Every one of us will receive the gift. Just like what Peter was saying in 1 Peter 4:10, that each one of us will receive a gift. Because you received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you have that gift. But the important thing is you need to open it. Because if you don't open it, it remains a gift. I put some gifts in our Christmas tree, but it remains a gift if you don't open it. So we need to find out what is that gift for us. And then secondly, it says here, the manifestation of the Spirit. So actually, if you see that word, the manifestation is, because we can't see the Spirit, right? But we can see the manifestation of the Spirit. So when the gifts operate, it will manifest in various forms. When the Holy Spirit is working, so it says that the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning to say that we would know that the Spirit is working when the gift is coming out, you know, blessing people, edifying the church. That's how we would know that the Spirit is manifesting in that time. So in other words, this is not it is not built in ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not from you. It's not from us. And sometimes if you are not ready, the Holy Spirit cannot work. The gift cannot operate in your life if you are not ready, if you don't know also. So, because the Holy Spirit will move into people through you, through us. So we need to be aware of this. That's why in my next question is, how do we determine we have this gift? So, and lastly, it says here on that verse 7, it says, for the common good. So, gifts are given individually, but it needs to be used for the benefit of all. So, one for all. You have that gift so that the rest can be blessed. If you don't do that gift and you are gifted on that one, the rest will suffer, or that's a hard word. The rest would be deprived of that blessing. All right, so now we go to verse 6 to 8. These are on the list. So I'm going to discuss this. Hopefully we can finish on time. What time are we going to finish? Maybe I have 20 minutes left. All right, so first is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 now. It says here, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. I'm reading from the ESV. In your Bibles, probably you have word of wisdom or utterance of wisdom. So let's go quickly. An example of this, before we can discuss, an example in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. So turn your Bibles the left side in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. So let's read this verse. It says here, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, the man full of faith and with the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They sat before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. So the story goes that there was some, you know, issues that in the, so when they meet together, they have gathering, they have food, you know, and then they distribute this food, and then some were being neglected, and there was chaos. And so the disciples or the apostles were giving this wisdom, hey, why can't you choose 7 people? I mean, to us these days, it's normal to have an organization. But to them, you know, this is the start of their organization. They're trying, the church is evolving, but they need wisdom on that. So the disciples, the apostles, have that wisdom of giving out a suggestion or a command that, hey, you choose 7 men full of the Holy Spirit. We pray for them. And so that pleased the congregation. It says that pleased. So gifts will bless people, will edify the church, really. So that's one. It's a word of wisdom. So wisdom is an application of the knowledge that you have, you know. And then the second part, going back to Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, the second part of that verse is, on verse 8, is another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So the utterance of knowledge or word of knowledge, again, we go back to Acts chapter 12, so we can understand what is this. Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Here is a classic example about the gift of the word of knowledge. So let's read this. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they sold the property, this Ananias and Sapphira, sold the whole piece of property, and the proceeds, they give it to the apostles, but only part of it. And then, but Peter said, verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of yourself, to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And a great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7, after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter said to her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And as she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, and they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. So, we know this story. So what I'm saying here is the gift of knowledge came to Peter. Because how did he know that Ananias were lying about them giving the whole thing? So say from the sale of the land, say 1 million, and they only give 500,000. But they said, "Hey, we have given everything for the church, 1 million from the proceeds." That was the mistake they did because they were lying. And Peter knew about it because the Holy Spirit came and revealed it to him. That's word of knowledge or utterance of knowledge, because Peter knows that now they were lying. And great fear came upon the whole church. That word fear, it means that they honor God, because, you know, we cannot just, you know, fool around people here, the church, because we're talking about God. We are dealing with God. So it encouraged the whole congregation to be true to the Lord. Next, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, says here, verse 9, to another faith. So faith is the spiritual gift of faith is a supernatural faith that operates from God directly through you. So this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, an example to that. And probably due to time, I don't have to read this verse, but it's found in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not worship the God was set up by Nebuchadnezzar, because they were false gods. So when the report came that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down to follow the king's order to bow down and worship his image, he was furious. And despite being furious, you know what the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is? He said, "We will not follow you. We have faith that the Lord will deliver us." The word faith is not there, but we believe and trust in the Lord that He will deliver us. So that's faith. It's kind of very extraordinary, because can you imagine that if you're in that situation? Because you are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and because of his anger, he even heated the furnace 7 times more. But then the story goes that if you don't hear it or read it, you know, when they were thrown, the king himself saw immediately that there were 4 men instead of 3. Who is that 4th man? And then he recognized, Nebuchadnezzar recognized, he seems to be like the Son of God. Something like really different, you know. And then when they come out, the 3 came out. There was no mention of the 4th one coming out. Only 3 of them. And then they found that they were not torched or at all. Even their hair is not seen, you know. So it's miracle. And because of that, Nebuchadnezzar believed on the God. Oh, he praised the Lord for that. So that's kind of a gift of faith. Next is gifts of healing. So it says here in verse 9, the same verse, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. So it's obvious there's a lot of stories. I would have to turn to you to any verse in the Bible where Jesus healed, where Peter healed, even the shadow of Peter, people get healed, you know. But this verse, this gift of healing, we do this by praying, Of course, we are not the healer, but we can only pray. We pray for the person, we go out to the person, we pray for that person. That's the thing we can do. And then I heard stories like, if you pray for a person, the thing that you would know that you have that gift is when people come back to you and say, "Hey, thank you. I got restored now." And you do that several people, and you would know that you have that gift. But it's not good if you just like take notice of that. So take notice when you pray for someone to pray for healing, and these people get healed, then possible that you have that gift of healing. And healing is not also just instant, as we see in the Bible. The Bible did not record, unfortunately, of healings that took like 1 day or 2 days later. Mostly it's like an instantly. But no, healing can be gradual, you know. It would be nice, it would be instantaneous, but gradual healing is still healing, you know. Then next is verse 10, another working of miracles. So working of miracles, the working is a supernatural occurrence that goes beyond our human scope comprehension. So example, casting out demon from a slave girl in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18, where Paul was casting out a demon from a girl, slave girl, you know, and then the demon left her. And then next is prophecy. It says here, the same verse, to another prophecy. So prophecy, Paul spent a lot of time in chapter 14 about prophecy. So basically this gift, he compared it to speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. So prophecy is you speak like intelligible words. So we always say that prophecy is about foretelling. But actually, in our days, we are no longer foretell because the fulfillment is already done in Jesus Christ. What we need to do is we tell the word of God. So we call that foretelling, not foretelling. Foretelling, meaning we tell what Jesus has done and then what the Bible says already. So that's prophecy. You are speaking, it says, Paul was saying that I would rather have you speak intelligible words like in proclaiming the word of God to people than to speak with unknown tongues. And then he says there that because speaking in unknown tongues edifies yourself only. So that's the difference. But he's not saying, no, I'm not stopping you from speaking in tongues. Well, that's what Paul was saying. I'm not stopping you from doing that. It can benefit you well and good. But the problem is when they come together, there's an issue where someone with a gift of tongue is speaking out and then everybody, okay, listen, and they don't know what's that. So they are not blessed. And then others also are doing that. So there's some chaos. So Paul is trying to put some order. He said, we have to put order in the church. You know, we don't want that you have that gift. You can do that probably privately, or a certain group of people doing that, but not in the whole congregation. But he said that I would rather have you speak like in prophecy, like proclaiming the word of God, rather than you speak in unknown tongues by yourself. Unless, he said, unless someone interprets it. So someone said that prophecy is equal to, it is also equal, speaking in tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. So that's why Paul was saying here that if you have that gift of speaking in tongues, then you pray also that you can interpret it or somebody will interpret it. That's what Paul was saying here. And then the next one is distinguishing between spirits. This one is exciting because this is the ability to know which spirit is working in a person or group, whether it's from the Holy Spirit or from the evil spirit or from your human spirit. In other words, we say, oh, it's just in your own head. That's what it's saying here. Sometimes just by looking or weighing on what a person says is not enough to determine which spirit is working. A classic example is that slave girl. Remember, this slave girl was following with Paul and I think Silas. So they were proclaiming, and then this slave girl was following them, and the slave girl keep on saying, this man is from God, this man is from God. So if you hear those, ordinarily if you hear those words, you would say, oh, she is for us because this man is from God. But then Paul, that's why the writer of Acts wrote it, he said, no, this slave girl has a spirit of divination, divination. So how did he know? How did they know? How did the writer know that this slave girl has a spirit of divination? It is because they have that gift of distinguishing between spirits. And Paul, or I think Peter, was it Peter or Paul? And actually, I think it's Paul that noticed that. That this one has a bad spirit. So he rebuked the bad spirit on that slave girl that says, that told them, hey, you know, you are from God. And the spirit left her. And then the next one is various kinds of tongues. This is what we were talking about. The ability to speak in a language unknown to the speaker. I don't know if some of you have heard about this gift operating. I mean, people are scared. I mean, the church family is scared about these things because you think, we don't know if the evil spirit is working here. That's why we need the gift of distinguishing of spirits. And so he speaks to God or prays to God in unknown tongue, edifying only himself. That's the gift of tongues. And then interpretation of tongues, we know that the ability to interpret those words. Interpretation is different from translation. Like for example, when someone is speaking in tongues and you measure like it's like 3 minutes of blah, 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 something like that. And then the interpretation is like only like maybe less than a minute. So you say, oh, what's the connection here? This one talks of so much. And then this one, the interpretation is only a few. Interpretation is what she is actually, what's the message, you know? And the most important thing, the way to judge if these are true, discerning of spirits, is if it edifies the church. That's one thing. And we always go back to the Bible to check what she is proclaiming, what is proclaiming. Okay, so now we are finished with group one. We go to group two. And the thing is, we won't repeat because, see, in group two, there's some repetitions, the same gifts. But the background here in Romans chapter 12 is, we know, verse 1. One of the most famous quoted verse in the Bible. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's in verse 1, right? Chapter 12, verse 1. A living sacrifice, holy, which is your act of worship. So Paul is speaking about presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, as an act of worship. So in using this gift to serve others, we're actually offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our act of worship. That's what he's saying here. Okay, that's where he's going to. So he said in verse 6, he says, gift of service. So what is gift of service? One who gave his time, effort, and resources to serve the body of Christ. So time, effort, and resources, you're going to do that because you want to serve. Okay, if you have that gift of service, you are in that category. Your gift is in that category. And then the next one is teacher. One who makes clear the truth of God's word with simplicity and accuracy. A teacher, one who's like going into the nitty-gritty of the small things So that's the role of a teacher. You know, he wants to make sure everything, even the language, the original language, all you know, just by that one verse, he gonna dissect all of that, tries to explain to us. That's the gift of teaching. And then the next one is one who exhorts, a person who encourages. If it is natural for you to give encouragement to a brother or sister, then you surely have that gift. This person is humble, putting others above himself, like in Philippians 2, 3, 4, because when you exhort, you want to, you know, when you encourage, you know, you are always putting up to the interest. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says that not looking not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. So that is your heart for that. So you keep on encouraging people, putting them, you know, up, you know, encouraging them, tossing them. You are the bottom, you know, trying to lift them up. And then next is one who contributes, a person who gives willingly. So the Bible is full of messages on that one. And one that is very famous in Macedonia, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Because this church is really a good example about giving generously. When you say giving generously, it doesn't mean that he gives his 1 million, you know. Not necessarily like that. It's about what you have and you give. So, we all can give, but this person is begging to give. Can you imagine that? He's begging to give. Look. Read that verse, 2 Corinthians. Oh, let's read that verse, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 3. Says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among you, the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord. Verse 4, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So there was a problem in Jerusalem. There was the hit with a big famine, and then the poor in Jerusalem need some help. And then Paul has been traveling around. Then he told the Macedonians are saying, no, please, Paul, bring this. Just bring this to the people there. They were begging to give. That's the heart of people who contribute, you know, one who contributes. And that is your, if that is your gift, bless the Lord. Next is one who leads. So this person has the gift to lead and administer resources. Leadership is about influence. And I learned that from John Maxwell. I don't know if John Maxwell. He's a famous on about leadership. He's a Christian. He's a believer, a pastor. So if you want to know more about leadership, read his book. He mentioned that there are five levels of leadership, and you know what? One thing I noticed is it says level one is the first level in leadership is position. Because in position, you don't have to do anything. You don't accept effort because you are given that position. So if you are just that level, people follow you because you have that position, that's the very lowest level. The next level is about permission. People will allow you to lead them because they like you, you know, that they wanted to. And then the next level is about production, meaning a good leader. If you are on the level of production, meaning you already can motivate people easily to get things done. And then I forgot the other level. But you go to John Maxwell's books on leadership, and this applies to all the gifts that. Whatever, we are not after calling yourself like, I'm the exhorter, or I'm the leader, I'm the teacher. No, we don't focus on our position, no. as long as the work of the Lord is done. That's what we need to be in our heart, in our mind. And then, lastly, acts of mercy. So a person that is merciful is a forgiving person. Forgiving others is an act of mercy. And then identifying and comforting those in need. We need to identify those people that need help and mercy. So group three, we go to group three. The apostles. The apostles is one who is sent the word and establishes churches. So sorry, I have to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's read this verse. It says here, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Some pastors or some leaders call this ministerial gifts, because this kind of they are the pioneers in establishing churches. Like first the apostles. So apostles are, according to the Greek word, is one who is sent and to proclaim the word of God and to establish churches. And then next prophets, we already discussed those that, you know, foretelling the word of God. And then the next one is evangelists. So evangelists, one who bring the good news to various places, near and far, passionately leading others to the saving. So they are the ones that normally will bring people to salvation, like, you know, encouraging them. He will always call, altar call, and then, you know, lead them to sinner's prayer, or, you know, make them understand that they need to receive Jesus Christ in their lives. That's the work of an evangelist. But again, we don't put titles on ourselves. The most important thing is we just do the work of an evangelist. Okay? And then pastors, we know the pastor. He is the one that shepherds the flock. He's the one that takes care of the flock. If the sheep is hurting, you know, there's some problems, he's the one that will take care, you know, bind their wounds, you know. So that's the heart of the pastor. He's after taking care of the church, of the body of Christ. And then teachers, so we already discussed that in the body. So we need those five ministerial gifts. And then the last group, if you see yourself that I'm not good at all of those that I mentioned, but this last group maybe is the one that we belong to. Because the last group is in Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17 says here, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through Him. See? So, if you are not in the list, but not in that four columns, or three columns, but you are in the fourth column, praise the Lord. And the thing is, as I said, these are not exhaustive, and things have changed. Like, where does the missionary thing here? There's no missionary there. We just changed names, but they're the people that are being sent. They establish churches, they cultivate, like Paul was doing, keeps coming back and forth, like Rick and Shirley were doing right now. But maybe they would hate us if we call them apostles. Or we won't call them, you know. We don't call titles, because we need to be humble, and the important thing is we are doing the work of God. So, that's it. You have those gifts, whatever you do. And by the way, whatever you do could mean that what is the thing that you are good at? So the most obvious thing is at your workplace, who you are. You are a pilot. You are a trainer of the acrobatic people. Whatever it is, you know, use that to glorify God. That is what this verse is telling us. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the next question I'm going to ask is, how can I determine my spiritual gift? So, number one thing is, we ask God in prayer. Because in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, it says there, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, higher gifts. So we need to talk to God because He's the one, the giver. So you pray, we pray about, Lord, you know, be honest to God. And those are the kind of prayers that will receive 100% response from the Lord because it is in accordance to His will. And then number two, ask people who know you well. Because confirmation from others is important. Remember that the gift is to edify the body of Christ. So if they are blessed by what you are doing, then that's it. Because they are blessed. And then next one is pay attention to God's leading. What I mean here is if you are burdened with something while all the rest did not really take notice of it, most likely this is the area God wants you to work on. And use that gift to meet that need. So be aware, you know, if you are complaining on something, probably the Lord is talking to you. Right? If you are complaining at all, this should be the thing we should do, you know. Probably the Lord is talking to you. So pay attention to God's leading on that area. Then observe other believers in action by starting to serve. So if you don't start to serve, then if you don't participate in activities, remember that it is not built in you. It is the Holy Spirit that will pour out on us. So if we are not there, if we're not available, then most likely the Holy Spirit will not work on you if you're not involved in activities. So that's what the verse is telling us. So be involved so that the Holy Spirit can work in our lives. And then think about the things you are naturally gifted. I already mentioned in Colossians 3:17. Those gifts, where you are at your workplace, 100% the Lord is going to use you in that area. Look for gifts in moments of adversity. Because in adversity we learn a lot of things, and you would find your true self in times of adversity, and then there you can find your gift. Okay, I'm good at holding on, being patient. So the Lord will lead you to the right, you know, ministry where the Lord can use you. And then last question is, what should be the right attitude and exercising my gift? So, to answer this question, we need to read 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, and Romans chapter 12, and all the others. But just focus on that one, because this really requires maturity. So, but let me just summarize this. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 to 26, and Romans 12, verse 3 to 5, Paul just used this simple analogy about the body, where our body composed of many parts. Some are very obvious, like my face, the few hairs on my head, and my height, you know, those are obvious. But there are some that are not obvious, small, but they all are important for my body, for your body to function. So that is the idea here, the principle, the analogy that Paul was using, that we all need each other. We cannot say that the hand, you know, if you read those verses, the hand cannot say to the eyes that I don't need you because I can grab anything, you know. But the eyes say, no, I don't need you. I can see everything, but you can touch if you can't see me. If you can see, you know. So these are the analogy. So this passage is telling us that each gift is important for the function of the body. We all need each other's gifts, and we are not to belittle other gifts. That's the theory, because the Corinthians were rebuked by Paul because They were belittling others who cannot speak in tongues. They were saying, hey, you guys are not really spiritual because you don't have these gifts. And others were saying, oh, but no, every gift is important. And then the most important of this, what should be our right attitude, is tucked in the middle of this discussion about speaking in tongues and prophecy is 13, chapter 13. It says, I will show you the most excellent way. Well, it's good to have gifts, but if you don't have this, it's nothing. It says here, what good is it if you can speak in tongues, but you don't have love? You're like just a clanging cymbal. So love is very important. We have to do this out of love. We serve people with our gifts out of love for them, out of our love for God. Loving others, loving God. So our gifts are meant to edify the body of Christ. They are not purely to edify ourselves or feel good about ourselves. And then in the exercise of our gifts, we are to maintain order in the church. So I told you that Paul spent the whole chapter 14 about, hey, we need to make sure that we are in order when the exercise of our gifts and in all these things. So to recap, what we discussed and applied in our lives is this. We have the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. I copied exactly what Romans 12:6 says there. We have the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Grace of God. And then secondly, once we determine our gifts, we can continue to nurture it and be more focused on things we are gifted at. Because if we are focused on that one, we continue to develop, and most likely we will develop disciples on that ministry that you have. And then finally, we put love in everything that we do for our fellow men, our brothers and sisters.